Lord called me to preach in November of 1992, and I run to January, and then I tried it on January the 31st, 1993, and I've been trying ever since. And from the first time till today, I need the Lord. So I would ask you that you would pray for me. Be the Lord's will for us to stand. We need God's help. We need Him each time that we stand. The crowd, they make me nervous sometimes, but most of all, handling this right here is what really, really makes me nervous. Because I want to tell you the truth today. I want to try to tell you what God has given me. I got up the other morning and I had several thoughts that came to me of what He would want me to preach on here today. And I believe if we'll pray real hard and we'll follow the Lord and we'll get and let His Spirit move within us today, that when we leave here today, we can say it's been good to be at the house of the Lord. When I come to the house of God, I come to see Him and I come to feel Him. I want to feel His Spirit when I'm around Him. There's a spirit that He has that He puts on the inside of us. And when we feel that, there's no greater joy in this world. It gives us peace and contentment as we go out in this world each and every day. If we'll draw near to God, we can feel His presence. And the things of the world won't really matter that much to us because we're close to Him. So let's make sure that we follow the Lord today. What the Lord has given us today, I believe, is for every one of us here today. If you're here and you're lost and you're separated from God, I pray that when God deals with your heart, that you seek the Lord right then. You don't wait till I give an altar call or a preacher to give an altar call, but when God begins to deal with your heart and you feel God working in there and you can feel the Spirit working upon you, that's when God is calling you to His Son. So you come then and you seek the Lord till you know that you've been saved by God's grace. So let's pray to that end today. If there's any lost here, I want you to feel free at any time while I'm preaching, you come seek the Lord. If you need to say something or you need to do something while I'm preaching today, you follow the Lord. This is God's house and this is His service. So let's all follow the Lord. The greatest thing that we all have here today that's been saved by God's grace is our testimony. It is. I'm going to give you a man's testimony that Luke recorded in the book of Acts. And there's something in this I want us to look at today. Not only did Luke record it, but that's the first recording of Saul, which later became Paul, testimony, and then he mentioned it at least twice that it's recorded in the New Testament in the book of Acts. He recorded that testimony of himself. And no doubt in my mind that when he went through this life, even though we find two places where it's recorded, I can promise you that he gave his testimony many a times in his life because that's the greatest thing that you'll have. The Scriptures teach us that when Paul, he gave his testimony to kings, he gave testimony to governors. So wherever that we might be, the greatest witness that we have is our testimony of when we were saved by God's grace. Something we know about. I want to read, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with us and pray for us today. We need the Lord's help. We need His Spirit. And we're going to read just a few verses of Scripture. In the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, I want you to notice this and pay close attention. Brother mentioned in Sunday school about the Word of God and how we need to put it in its place. We need to go there. That's one of the greatest things that I've found when I'm trying to study the Word of God and trying to see what it's saying to me and what it's saying to you as I try my best, if I can, to pray and get where I need to be and go there and see what's going on around about
as this was written.
I want you to notice this. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they are men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Notice this. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. I want you to notice this today. This is when Paul was saved by God's grace. Now this light that was speaking about, this was Christ. But I want you to know right here today that I'm looking at some lights. Right here, as I look at you, if you've been saved by God's grace, then there's a light on the inside of you. And I'm going to tell you, when it comes forth and when people see that light, it'll draw them to Christ. If we want to see people get saved, even here today, you let your light shine in this service today. There was a great light here that shined unto him. Notice what happened and took place. It says this. It says, as he journeyed and he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth. He was going to take letters to persecute the church. And God's power was manifested in such a way that when he came upon this, he fell to the earth. I'm going to tell you, when things get right in the church, when things get where they need to be in the church, and the church is working and laboring, and the Spirit of God there, and they're moving, listen, I'm telling you that sinners, their hearts, they'll melt. They'll melt. You might say, well, them was the good old days. Let me tell you, they don't have to be just the good old days. I was in a revival this year in 2022 where there was 10 that got saved. And there was 11 that joined the church, 11 that told about it. I was in a revival this year where there was 12 that united with the church, and there was 9 that got baptized. I'm telling you, God has not changed one bit. He ain't moved one inch from what he was when 1983. Brother Don will tell you, he'll tell you today, besides the one he got saved in, the best revival he was ever in was in August of 1983 at New Zion Missionary Baptist Church. The Spirit and the power of God worked. There was 13 of us that got saved. There was 15 that joined the church. Listen, it all started just about the second week. It went on for 2 weeks. I got saved on Blue Tuesday. We call Monday Blue Monday. We did back home. But let me tell you, what I'm telling you is God has not changed. Listen, God can still bring sinners to their knees that they might call upon the name of the Lord. We need to look to Him and ask Him to lead us and guide us and direct us and to warm us up. Do we not need to be warmed up? I want you to look at what it says. Y'all pray for us. I'm just trying to say what the Lord wants me to say. I found a long time ago, when I get behind here, I just need to hang on. Let Him guide and lead. His thoughts are way higher than mine. He's way higher than anybody, ain't he? Notice what he says. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Boy, I remember that night. I was sitting back at the house. Say, the Lord showed me walking out of the garage on Sunday evening before we went back that Sunday night. Before I'd ever went to the altar, before I ever realized I was lost and separated from God. I was sitting there, walked out of the garage, and it was just like Adam. You know, the Bible says that when Adam took that fruit and he ate of it, the Bible says that his eyes was opened up. You know what happened to him? He died inwardly. He became lost. He became separated from God. That's what happened to him. The very moment that he ate that fruit, I walked out of that garage that evening, somewhere around 2 to 3 or 4 o'clock, and all at once I knew I was lost and separated from God. And I want you to know, when I went back that night and the preaching began to take place, I was sitting in back of the house and I already knew I was lost. I knew, I felt it on the inside of me. Listen, I felt just like Paul did. It was the Lord was ringing out to me saying, Brad, why has you persecuted me? Why have you sinned against me? Why are you the way that you are? That's how I felt. Inside of my heart, I knew I was lost without a shadow of a doubt. And I knew the time had come. Let's go on and look and see what it says. He said, and he said, Who art thou, Lord? I want you to see, this is a beautiful testimony of salvation. Who art thou, Lord? You see, he recognized him for who he was. Who art thou, Lord? I think a lot of times, us saved and lost, I want you to listen to this. When we go to God and we pray instead of just playing around with him, he teaches us how to pray in the 6th chapter of Matthew. He says, when you enter into the closet and you've shut the door, then you speak to him, our Father. Hallowed be thy name. You see what Paul's doing? He's calling him Lord. Who art thou, Lord? You see, hallowed be thy name. Let me tell you, I went to the altar and I sought the Lord for 3 nights. And I pleaded and I prayed and I sought him. And when I got to the place where I knew that he was the Lord, and I knew that he could save me, that's when he did save me. You see, notice what Paul said. He said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Then he made this statement. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I want you to know here today, you're here today and you're lost and you're separated from God. You may tell mom and daddy you're not lost. You may tell these brothers and sisters you're not lost. But I'll tell you something that knows whether you're saved or not. And that's the Lord. You see, the Lord knew what was going on in Paul's heart. You see, there was a spirit. That's what's amazing about the true church is the spirit was given unto the true church. And the Spirit works in the church. So when we're working and laboring, God is working in the hearts of men. But that Spirit, it was working upon Paul. You know how I know that? Because it says, it's hard for thee to kick against the prince. You see, I believe, as the Scripture says, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You see, I believe the word when it says that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, that it cuts into a man. I'm telling you, that night when that preaching come to me, I'm telling you, God went into my heart and he began to work on the inside of me. He did. He was done working on Paul. God knew his heart. Notice what Paul done right here. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I believe that when he come out with the words of, Lord, what will you have me to do? I believe right there is when the Lord saved him. I believe that with all my heart, because you know how I know that? Because when I began to seek the Lord, when I got to the place that I surrendered to the Lord, and I said from the very depths of my heart, I said, Lord, what will you have me to do? I surrendered my all unto him. I went just as far as I could go. Then he saved me. Right there. Right then. What will thou have me to do? I think if you're here today, if you're lost and you're separated from God, and God is working upon your heart, I tell you this today, don't push him away. He's doing a work on the inside of you. I believe that today. Listen, you know, there in the book of Acts, when Peter and those brethren, they stood it up and they preached Jesus to them. You see, the Bible says, and when they were pricked in their heart, same thing happened to them. You know what they said? Same question. That's what I asked you today. I can remember as a boy. I remember as a boy growing up in church. I thank God I was took to church from the time I was a little boy. And I could see them. I would see them. I'd see people get up and they'd just run to the altar. And you could see tears running down their face. And that made me curious. I wonder what was going on. I got up pretty close to the age of being lost. I began to ask my mama. I'd say, Mama, when will I do that? Remember what I'm preaching on. What did he say? Lord, what will thou have me to do? I remember when I got up to that age, I would ask my mother. I'd say, Mama, when will I do that? You know what her answer was to me? She said, Son, you'll know. That's what she told me. Son, you'll know. That night I was sitting back to the house. My mom and dad didn't even know I was lost and separated from God. But you know what? When God got to dealing with my heart, I could feel him working on my heart. My heart was pounding out of my chest. I was guilty and I felt guilty. I knew what to do. I knew to come and seek the Lord. But that question was, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter stood and he said, repent, comma, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know what God requires for you to be born again, to be saved by God's grace? He requires repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've got gospel news for you today. You cannot do that by yourself. You can't. So that work, that heart knocking, that heart drawing, he's trying to set you free. He's wanting you to come to him. And you see, the Bible says just what the word, what does the word say? The Bible says that godly sorrow worketh repentance. That sorrow sets up in a man when he'll listen. That's why I believe with all my heart. You know, the Bible says, here in your soul shall live. I believe that as well as I'm standing on my 2 feet right here. I believe when a person truly hears the gospel and they let it come in, it's going to do a work on the inside of them. It'll bring them to that place. That's what the scripture says. Hear and your soul shall live. You don't push him away. But listen to him. Listen to him. He's drawing you. You need to be seeking the Lord right now. Pray to him till you know that you've been saved by God's grace. That's what Peter told them. There was another man you find in the scriptures. And I'll never forget this. I'll share this with y'all. This ain't been but probably almost a year ago. I was preaching at a church. And it was not too far from my home. There was a preaching brother that had passed away, and his funeral was at 12, and I just knew I wasn't going to get to go to his funeral. So I went to the funeral home that morning. And I went in there, seen his family, actually his son. He's a young preacher, and I'd asked you to pray for him. He went the other way. Pray for him. I'd like to see him get back in church and start preaching again. But anyway, regardless, I went through, and I come outside, and when I walked outside, I had my suit and tie on. Young man standing on the porch. I want you to notice this today, y'all, because you never know. You may go to work tomorrow, every one of you, and you may be asked this question. I want you to listen to this question that was asked me as a man of God. I was walking outside. There was a man standing there, probably mid-20s. He looked at me. He said, "You're a preacher, ain't you?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He looked at me square in the eyes, and you know what he asked me? He said, "How can I be saved?" That's what he asked me. Right there on the porch of a funeral home, death all around us, death laying in there. How can I be saved? And I looked at him and I told him, I said, "Are you going to be here at this service today?" Because I knew my pastor was preaching that service and I knew that he'd preach the truth. I said, "When you hear the gospel and you open your heart up and God gets to dealing with you, you start calling on him and pray to him till you know that you've been saved." That's pretty good advice, ain't it? Got my vehicle, cranked her up, started heading down the road. And the Lord spoke to me. And I'm going to tell you what he spoke to me. I want you to listen to this. Remember that other question I told you that was asked by a man? You have your Bibles? You want to turn around, turn and look with me. This is found in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Y'all remember when Paul and Silas was in that Philippian jail? Y'all remember that? And they were chained up. And the Bible says in the 26th verse, well, the 25th verse, I want you to notice what they were doing. It says, and at midnight, this was at midnight, most of us tonight at midnight, we're going to be in the bed asleep. We ain't got to worry about being in a cold jail cell. We ain't got to worry about that, do we? Notice what it says. It says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. And immediately where the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Now we're talking about being like in a jail, in a penitentiary. Can you imagine this? All the gates are open and everybody's just free. Power of God. Notice this. It says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Notice this. And but Paul cried with a loud voice. You know what he said? He said, "We're all here." I want y'all to know this today. I want you to think about this. Whenever God gets hold of a sinner man and you see him either back there in the back of the house or you see him come here and seek the Lord, you make sure he knows that every one of you's here. Every one of you's here for that person that you're praying on their behalf. Not only will he recognize that or her, but God Almighty will recognize it too. Remember that. We're all here. Notice what it says. It says, then he called for a light and sprang in. Remember what? And came trembling and fell down. You remember what Paul done over there when we read earlier? When it said it's hard for thee to kick against the priest. The scripture says that he fell to the earth. This man right here, he fell to the earth.
When I was lost and I separated from God, when I went to the altar, I don't even know how in the world did I get up there. God was dealing with me. When the Spirit gets just right and we are doing what we're supposed to do and the church is going the way God wants it to go, guess what? People's going to get saved. Are y'all listening to me? They're going to get saved. Notice what it says. Notice this. He was asked this question, and he brought them out. Now I want you to think about this. This is so precious. You know I like, boy, it just does my heart good when I speak to a young man or a young woman, and they looked at me and they said, yes, sir, and no, sir. Don't y'all like to hear that? That's what I was taught as a kid. Yes, sir, and no, sir. I just tell you, I like to hear that, don't you? Notice what it says. Notice how he spoke. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That same question was asked to him as I was asked at that funeral. And I want you to notice this reply, because I believe this with everything, every strand of my being, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet this day, I believe this. I believe when everything's just right, I believe when the Spirit of God is working on a lost person and they get to that place that they need to be. Notice what it says. What did he say? He brought them out and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, they were in agreement, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. He didn't just stop with him, did he? You know what? I didn't know when I was a 13-year-old boy how many kids I was going to have. Did you know that? But I'm going to tell you what, when the Lord saved me right there, I believe if I tried to follow him in this life, I knew without a shadow of a doubt, not only would I get saved, but my children would get saved. I stand before you today, and I'm telling you, each one of them has been saved by God's grace. I got four grandchildren living in 2022. The world is awful. But you know what? Two of my girls, you know where they're at this morning? They're at church where the truth is. You know what I believe? As well as the bottom of my feet to the top of my head, my grandchildren's going to get saved too. That's right. Amen. I don't believe it's just me. I believe me and my house. Let me tell you something. God wants to save your house too. He does. And don't just say him, but him and his house. That's some beautiful stuff, ain't it? What will thou have me do? I thought about this. You know, there's a lot of people. When I was a boy, I told you this message, and I pray if you're here and you're lost, and God's knocking on your heart, you need to be up here praying. You need to be seeking the Lord right now. Don't wait. Keep praying. You can pray wherever you're at, but let me tell you something. If you feel God drawing you to that place, when I was at the back of the house that night, let me tell you, God was pulling me to this place, and I went. You couldn't have stopped me. I've told people they could have been Marine Corps up there, and I still made it to the altar. When you get to the place that you want to get saved, you will get saved. You got to want to be saved. You don't need to push it off. God works through his people. There may be something here today. When I was a boy, this is how we were taught. This is what I seen. See, Jesus told Nicodemus, we speak that we do know, and we testify that we have seen. I can tell you about something I know about. I'll tell you something I've seen. When we got saved by God's grace, the next day, they opened the doors to the church, and yeah, there may be a few that run from the Lord, but most of them would come and unite with the Lord's church. Did you know that? That's the way it was when I was a boy. Matter of fact, when the Lord saved me that night, I don't know how long it had been, but I tell you, when I found the Lord, I found peace, just like everybody else. But when I acknowledged what had happened to me, that's when the fruits of salvation came. And the Lord really blessed me in a great way. I don't know how long I was there. I don't know what I did, half of what I done. But I do remember I was standing about right in there, and there was others seeking the Lord. And I can remember the Lord's voice, because when He saved you, you know His voice. I believe it's the McCamies sang a song, "We know when He speaks, don't we? I know when He speaks to me." He spoke to me that night. He said, "Don't you think you need to join this church?" Well, I said, "Yeah, Lord. You just saved me." And you know what? I didn't wait till the next night. I couldn't. I went to a deacon. And I pulled him on his coat, and I said, "You reckon you can get him to open the doors of church?" When I said that, he started shouting. And then I got happy again. You see, that's what it's about. You should want to join the Lord's church when you get saved. You know what he said after he got saved? Paul, the Lord let him know. He said, "You go to this certain place and it's going to be told to you what you must do." And I'm going to read this to you. If you're here today and you've been saved, you've never united with the Lord's church, I'm just going to tell you like it is, you're in the wrong. And you'll never be satisfied with God until you unite with His church and you follow Him in baptism. You never will be. I don't believe that for a second. You'll not find in the Scriptures, as you read through the Scriptures, those that got saved, immediately they were baptized. This one that we talked about, Paul, I don't know, it was a sum of 2 to 3 days. He was blinded. He couldn't see. I've used this example many a times. If a man walked through these doors and he was blind, we would have so much compassion upon him, wouldn't we? Well, let me tell you, when this brother went to him and began to speak to him, listen, he was telling him what he needed to do. And I'm telling you, if you've never united with the Lord's church, you need to unite with the Lord's church and you need to follow Him in baptism. Okay? It's commanded for us to be baptized. But I want you to notice this. Paul got there where he was supposed to be. This is in Acts, the 22nd chapter, about the 14th verse. Let's read the 12th verse. This man named Ananias, God told him to go where Paul was. 12th verse. "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me." See, he's telling what happened to him. "He came unto me and he stood and said unto me, 'Brother Saul, receive thy sight.' In the same hour I looked upon him." So the first thing that Ananias done was there, took his hands and laid it upon him, and he received his sight, natural sight. He'd already received that spiritual sight there when he bowed to the Lord. He got to the place, "Lord, whatever." How many testimonies y'all ever heard where people, when they got saved, they said they told the Lord, it didn't matter what they had to do, they would do it. That's what Paul done. It didn't make no difference to him. God was swelling up on his heart. Notice what it says. It says this. He said, and he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth." I want you to notice what it says here. "For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." And I want you to know this today. If you're here under the sound of my voice and you've been saved by God's grace, yes, some brethren have a special calling from God. God called me to preach. Ain't no doubt. God called Brother Don. God called Brother Casey, your pastor. But I want you to know that it's our jobs, every single one of us, to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what can we tell them? The things that we have seen and the things that we have heard. Y'all ever been to church services where the Spirit got just right? You've seen sinners come to the altar and seek the Lord. You ever seen people get happy and shout in the Lord? Huh? Have you ever seen those things? So you can tell people about them and be a witness to the Lord of all the good things that He's done. You know what? If we're His witnesses for the Lord for all that He's done for us, we'd be talking about Him all the time, wouldn't we? And guess what? We should. We should everywhere we go. We sing a song. Tell it everywhere you go. And that's what we need to be doing. Notice this. Then He said, "And now why tarest thou?" He looked at Paul. He'd been blind, couldn't see nothing. He'd got him to where he could see. He told him what he needed to do, just like the Scripture says. And then He said, "What are you doing sitting there, Paul? Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized." If you're here today and you've been saved by God's grace and you've never united with the Lord's church and you need to follow Him in baptism, I ask you this, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? It's something that I know without a shadow of a doubt that you need to do. Listen, the Lord's moved me 3 times since I got saved. He moved me to Antioch. He moved me to Walnut Grove. He moved me to Hilltop Missionary Baptist Church. Each time, He knocked my heart out of my chest. And I fought it. But you know what? That night that I joined the church, you know what? There wasn't no big knocking in there. I knew that that's what I was supposed to do. I knew that He commanded me to do that. I knew He did. That's what you need to do. That's the whole message today, right? What wilt thou have me to do? Not only that, guess what? If you're not a member of the Lord's church, guess what you can't do? Our church has 2 ordinances. First being baptism, and then once you're baptized, you receive all rights and privileges. You know what one of those privileges and rights is? It's to take the Lord's Supper. What will thou have me to do? You have your Bibles? Turn to Luke 22. I believe that's what it is, Luke 22. It is. I want you to notice this. 19th verse. "And He took bread, and He gave thanks, and He broke it. And He gave unto them, saying," so picture this a minute. The Lord took the bread first, and then He prayed. He gave thanks. That's what it says. He gave thanks. And then as He gave it to them, notice this. "This do." What shall we do? "This do in the remembrance of me." And then it says, "And likewise He took the cup." And what that means is there wasn't no difference. But the big thing was, is to do this in the remembrance of me. You know, there's been a few times. Brother Marty Metter, I don't know if y'all know him, but him and his wife sang. They got a beautiful voice. He sings a song about prayer. And he sings, "It's been a few times that I've got a hold of the Lord." Well, let me tell you this, and I'll just tell you the truth. God knows our hearts. You know, when I was a boy, when I got saved, I united with the Lord's church. Boy, we had some good services when I was a boy. Seen a lot of shout. Seen a lot of people seeking the Lord. But we'd have the Lord's Supper. I don't care to tell you this as a young boy. I'm sure some of you younger that's been saved, uniting with the Lord's church,
Maybe you ain't near as awful as I was. But I thought, you know, we're going to have the Lord's Supper today, and it won't be a long service. You know, the preacher's going to preach. We're going to take bread, take wine. We'll get out of here about 12 o'clock. That's just the truth. Might as well tell you like it is. But I'm going to tell you what. I remember the first time that I took the Lord's Supper, and I was where that I needed to be, spiritually. And I done it in the remembrance of Him. Boy, I remember what I felt. Do y'all remember that? Can you remember just a few times? I can remember a few times of when I really done it in the remembrance of Him. I was standing there waiting for the deacon to serve, and I was standing there, or I was serving one of the two. But I can remember those times that when I really remembered Him and I was doing it because of Him and I was thinking about what He had done for me, how that this body that I'm fixed to take, how that it was crucified on the cross for me and He gave it for me that I might be saved. How this wine I'm fixing to drink, that He took that blood and He shed it for me that I might be saved. Notice, do this in the remembrance of me. Then I got to thinking about how that He'd saved me, saved my wife, He'd saved my children. How all the blessings, how that things in this life would come my way, and all at once the Lord would just bring me out. Boy, when you do that, you take the Lord's Supper, you really do it in remembrance of Him, you might see some shout. That's some good stuff, ain't it? You just might. But you see, you can't do that unless you're a member of the Lord's church. You can't do that unless you've been baptized. Ain't that something? Do this in remembrance of me. I thought about this. I thought me and Brother John, me and Brother Don, we've been in revivals together, been to Jamaica together before. Thought about this. You know, the Lord, one time I was in revival at Lafayette Missionary Baptist Church, and their pastor, Brother Benji, we'd been having some good services. And I said, well, you ready for tonight? We ready to, you know, to get with it, try to get where we need to be with the Lord. You know, he said, it don't matter to me. He said, I'll be the one go get the donkey. What did he say? I thought about this, me and Brother Don. You never know, Brother Don, maybe in this life somewhere, the Lord might have me and you to go get a colt. Do you know He told His disciples that? It was two disciples He told them right before He went into Jerusalem. He said, I want you, and these two disciples, He looked at me, He said, I want you to go. You're going to find a colt that's tied, and I want you to loose him, and if any man asks you, what this is about, you tell him that the Lord hath need of him. Boy, ain't that something. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine you going out and taking a colt or a donkey and ass that a person has never rode on and you sitting right down on top of her? Well, he'd buck you, he'd throw you. But ain't that amazing? The Lord sat down on her. I thought many a times, I thought, boy, he sat down on that colt. I figure that colt just thought, well, this is the one that made me. It is. That's who it was. He's the one that made everything. You see, let's make sure that we do what we're supposed to do. You know, we've all got plans for tomorrow, ain't we? Every one of us. More than likely, we done thought about next week. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as you do it in the right way. You know, I think James, he taught us, we're preaching about, Lord, what will you have me to do? James, if you have your Bibles and you want to read this, book of James, about the fourth chapter.
13th verse. You see, if he ain't got us lined up like we ought to be right here. Go now, ye that say today and tomorrow, and we will go into such city, and we will continue there a year, and we'll buy and sell and get gain. Got us pretty lined up, ain't it? Am I right? We got plans? Right? Notice what it says. It says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? But what is it? He tells us, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I promise you, there's not one of us in here that knows for sure that tomorrow is going to come. It's going to come for one thing, and going to come for our life. It may come from everybody in here but one person, and it may come for us all tomorrow. But we need to have in our heart, as he said, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. That should be on our hearts every day when we get up. Lord, whatever you want me to do this day, help me do the very best that I can this day to honor you. I'll take care of my family. I'll try my best to do the best. You give me strength that I'll do your will this day. Right? We know what to do is right, don't we? Very next verse. Therefore, get it right. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. So we know what's right and wrong, those that's been saved, especially those that are members of the Lord's church. We know what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do, right? Let's make sure we do those things. Let's make sure that we give in to the Lord every day. There was some that came to John in the book of Luke, about the second or third chapter, and this was the question they asked. Each one of them, now notice what they said in the book of Luke, the third chapter, I believe it is. He says this. He says, and the people asked him, saying, what shall we do? This is what he said. He answered them, saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Every day we should make sure we take care of the weak. Did you know that? Take care of the weak. Those that are less fortunate than you, that's our jobs as Christians. You know, pure religion before God, you know what that is, James said? To make sure you take care of the widows and the fathers. And to try to keep your life unspotted from this world. That's what he said. So that's what we need to do. Notice what else it says. It says, then came the publicans to be baptized. And he said unto him, Master, what shall we do? He said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed of you. You see, he was telling them what they needed to do. And the soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do no violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. So we've all got a work to do. Every one of us. If you're here and you're lost and you're separated from God, seek the Lord till you know that you've been saved. If you're here today and you've been saved by God's grace and you've never united with the Lord's church and followed Him in baptism, you need to do that. You need to do it. And every one of us here today, if the Lord gives us tomorrow, when we wake up in the morning, let's let it be the Lord's day. And let us be glad. And let us rejoice in it. And let His will take over our life and do whatever He wants us to do. And you'll be like Abraham when they took him to his people to be buried. It said in all things he was blessed. I can promise you, if you'll follow the Lord and you'll walk according to His will, that you'll have a life
that is blessed by doing the things that He wants you to do. That's what the Lord has given us to preach on. I hope it's helped someone. And I pray if you're here and you're lost and God's dealing with your heart, you come and seek the Lord. I want us to have a song. As we have this song, I'll give you an opportunity. If the Lord's dealing with you to come and seek the Lord, you come seek the Lord. I'm quite sure if you need to join this church, I'm sure that the church knows how to open these doors. And they'll do that for you too. I believe that with all my heart. So whatever you need to do, you follow the Lord. Take this message home with you. Take it home with you. You know, I heard a message about 20-something years ago. It was titled, Peter's Paradigm. It was in 2 Peter, the first chapter, where it talks about adding to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance. You know what? That's been working on me for over 20 years. And it's still working on me today. So I pray you'd take this home with you. I pray you'd pray for your pastor. I love Brother Casey. He was a member of the church that I was a member of. His wife, Jessica, I love her. I've seen her grow up. Her mother and dad lived beside my mother and dad. I've seen her grow up as a child. Pray for him. He'll preach the truth to you. I don't have no doubt about that. He'll give it his best. I believe that. Pray for me. Pray God. I just pray God will bless this church. I pray hearing about many being saved by God's grace. Let's all follow the Lord while we stand together and sing.
Number 375. 375.